Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on Day 8. The Bible verse is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25, and it reads, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." That's Ephesians 4:25. Rigorous honesty is the name of the reading. When I look at that verse from Ephesians, it tells me it's a command. It says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood." That is one thing that I know, that since I belong to the Lord Jesus and he has put his Spirit inside of me, that I now have the ability to see and the strength to resist that which is not of the Lord. And I got to remember that. I can't say, I can't do it. Well, in my own flesh, that might be true. But when I'm feeling like I can't do whatever God has commanded me to do, as I said later, it's important that I pray. I pray and I wait on God to give me that willingness. In the meantime, I go to work on what another things that he might have asked me to make sure that I get done. And I do those things knowing that what it says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." This is what the Lord will do for me. And I'm grateful I can call on him when I feel rebellious, or when I feel stubborn, or when I feel fearful, because that is one of the other reasons why I don't want to obey. Sometimes it's fearful. Fearful of discomfort, you know. That and that's worldly when you think about it. I want the comfort of my life versus working for the Lord. You know, working for the Lord, even in discomfort, takes me remembering how this all came about. How did I ever get to a place where I did want to work for the Lord, and how do I sustain it? Well, I got to a place where I wanted to work for the Lord when I got to a place of misery. I've said before, if a person is doing fine or think they're doing fine in their life, they don't really need a Savior. I've heard it come from my mouth when I was unsaved, that I got it, you know, I knew how to do life. But we get to a point that we stop learning. We realize that we can't do it, you know, and so we came to know the Lord. We gave our life and our will to the Lord, and what we have in return is this: we have the promise of eternal life with him at the end of this earthly life. But also on this side of heaven, we actually get a life that is amazing, because God gives us the gifts that will help us to be helpful. And a lot of times these gifts actually are very tied into our natural talents and abilities. Our talents and abilities, that's why what happens a lot of times with people who reject Jesus, that they can get so good in their talents and their abilities that they feel, no, I don't need anything supernatural. I'm able to do it myself. And that never works in the long run. And sometimes it takes people getting a very hard beating before they realize that, you know, there's an adversary afoot that is around us, and that adversary will make sure that we do not experience heaven on earth. He's always about making things hard for us in the long run. He's about, for some reason I think about that little cartoon called Peanuts, and when I was a kid, every year when it was the fall and Charlie Brown would want to play football, and Lucy would hold the ball for him, and every year Charlie Brown would go running to kick that ball, and she would at the last minute pull it out of the way, and he would fall on his back. And his saying was always, good grief, you know, good grief. And it was as if, you know, he knew it had happened before, but it was almost like he could not learn. He kept going around and around in the same, you know, hole. And that's how it was before I knew the Lord. The Bible says about the devil is that he masquerades as an angel of light. In other words, he starts off putting things, temptation, in the in the way of human beings, and we think it's good. We think it's the right thing until we fall on our back. You know, we can't do it anymore. And thank the Lord for the Lord. Thank the Lord for His grace. Thank the Lord for those who came before us, and they were able to, you know, live this life out in a very wonderful way. This is what, and we were attracted to that. We wanted to know how they did it, and they told us about Jesus, and we gave our life to Jesus. And so what He did is that He, like I said, gave us eternal life and gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit so that we can live the best life that we can on this side of heaven. Now, living on this side of heaven does not mean that it is going to be without pain. There will be times when it's quite painful because this is not our home. It's not our home. And like I said, there is an adversary to make sure that there are things that are hurtful in this life. But one of the verses that I speak of a lot, and I've shared before, is that verse in John 16:33, where Jesus is speaking to the apostles. You know, it's interesting that tonight, as I make this recording, this is some churches actually celebrate this. They call it Holy Thursday. Because it's the night before the crucifixion is what is commemorated. And so that night before the crucifixion, He spoke a long time to them to tell them, you know, that He says, I have told you these things so that in Me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow. God has overcome the world. How beautiful, how lovely, how wonderful that is, that God has overcome the world. And He's put His Spirit in us, and we're able to follow His commands. And we are even able to pray for that which we don't have. And that includes willingness. We can pray, and God can work in us the will to obey. So it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. We want to look like our Savior. Our Savior is Jesus, and He does not lie. He's God. God is not man that He should lie, or the Son of Man, you know, that He should change His mind. That's what it tells us in Numbers 23:19. And so, if we're looking like our Father, and we're looking like our Savior Jesus, we are going to speak truthfully to our neighbors. We're going to be about helping them, and truth is always helpful. But we do have to let the Lord lead us in truth, because the truth, like I said, we live in a world where lots of things profess to be truth, but they're not. They're not truth. So we want to be in the Word to make that distinction between what is truth and what is not. And we also want to listen to the Lord, because He has a perfect timing for us to be able to speak the truth in love. Some people are so caught up in the trap of the devil that when the truth comes to them, they immediately put on those boxing gloves and they want to argue and fight. But God has made it clear that is not our calling. We're not to wrestle people to accept truth, you know, try to throw it down their throats. The Bible says this, that 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance and lead them to a knowledge of truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. And so when someone is in the in the clutches of evil, and their minds are all cluttered, and they're fighting their rescuer, what we have to do is to learn how to speak the truth in love. And God will show us how to do that. I guarantee you, He will show us how to speak the truth in a loving way. And like I said, God knows the perfect timing also. It may not be when we want it to happen, you know, in terms of even any confrontation that needs to happen with a person. God will show us on that, how to speak truthfully to our neighbors. And it says here, we are all members of one body. So God, He wants no one to perish. And He will teach us how to help rescue people from the fire of hell. You know, and we, again, look to Him, and He will guide us. And this is one of the huge reasons why we do not want to go into the food. We don't want to be in the food. The food is a false god. It's an idol. I was telling someone the other day, I was sharing at a meeting, actually. The times that I do go with my daughter, usually, to go to a nail salon, the people that run our nail salon, they have a false religion, and they have their little idols, right, when you come into, they have a little idol sitting on the ground, and it has fruit in front of it, and other things, in front of that idol, and, again, I said this before, you know, that is not a criticism. It's a prayer that they will find the true God, that they will know who the Lord is. But, you know, if I would go into my food today, it would be going to like a little idol. It would be going to that shrine of craziness, actually. At the moment that I was in the food, I would be walking away from the Lord. And in fact, if I would go into food today, it would be like, what we commemorate tomorrow, the crucifixion of Jesus. where they mocked him and they beat him, they spit on him, they even turned their back on him. That would be what I would be doing. At that point, I would be taking all that he has given to me and just, doing a, I'm going to have my way is more important than what you have shown me. That's what I would be saying at that time. I was looking at the back in the 90 Days of Encouragement book. There are some exercises always to write about, and I do want to put a plug in too for writing. Writing is very instrumental in my recovery. It slows me down. It helps me to see things that I won't necessarily even see. It helps me to ponder my phrasing and everything. It does help me to get honest, I find. So there are these writing questions. I wanted to look at the last three bullets of that writing. One of them says here, have you made a commitment to follow a God-honoring way of eating today? And if you deviate off this plan, would you see it as dishonest? Why or why not? And I definitely have made a commitment to follow a God-honoring way of eating today. On the plan that I follow, I eat three times a day. I make sure that food has 4 hours at least from the time that I end it and then to the time that I began it. And in between my meals, I don't eat other food. I don't pop food because that's popping. Even I used to think that as long as it's low calorie, it doesn't matter. That was, again, not knowing, not understanding the nature of the beast. That truly, hold on just a moment. Just, the amount that I eat, but it is the process of what I put into my mouth and the why of why I want to eat. And it had gotten to the point in my life that I ran to food for relief and comfort.
Pat, are you okay?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I didn't. But my comfort has to be in the Lord. He is my Savior and my Lord. And the other thing about running to the food is that it interfered with my thinking. Because the foods that I ate, usually I would overeat and get tired and sleep and, wouldn't have the energy to do the work that God had called me, to do, at that time. And so, yeah, it would be dishonest and it would be sinful because I know better. And we have said that before, even in the introduction. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, for him it is sin. And it says, what is God teaching you about honesty? And what are some verses that help you? With that verse that we quoted even today, that Ephesians about speaking truthfully to other people. It's very important to me. And it says, tell them a time when the Spirit empowered you to speak the truth in love. If it was not received well, what was your response? And I have four children, and so I certainly went through four different times of the teenage years where it was a time of rebellion. And my first child, I think he was just getting into his teen years when I became abstinent. And so when my other kids got to that stage, I believe I was more equipped to help them. Because part of the problem of being active in an addiction is that the neglect it takes your focus. What it, you know, and that's why I believe that the devil is behind it. It takes your focus away. And so when I look back over the times when I was eating and my kids hadn't even gotten to teenage year yet, but I was neglectful and I was permissive because I was doing those things to myself as well. And so I was a much better parent at the very end by God's grace. And I was able to speak the truth in a loving way. Not to argue with them, because God is teaching me in His Word. He still teaches me in His Word. And I want to be able to stand up for Him, and to also keep standing even in the midst of rejection. I get rejection a lot, but I don't take it to heart. I just take it as part of, you know, what happens when a person is rejecting the Lord. That's a lot of times, I mean, even in the Bible, it would say that, that when a person is rejecting the Lord, they will definitely reject what a person of God is bringing from God. They will reject it. But let me pray. Father, I do thank you so much for what you are doing in my life. I pray to suit up, show up every day. Don't want to be in the food today. I want to be clear, clean, and committed for Jesus' sake. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.